coming to you from sunny Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Paper Stack Podcast, where we cover current topics in the note industry, give you tactics for your note business, and talk with industry leaders to make you a better note investor. And now, your hosts, Brett Berkey and Rick Allen.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Paper Stack Podcast. I am Brett Berkey, and this is Rick Allen.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. How's it going today, my friend?
It's going. Just another regular day. A little cold for Florida. Not as much as I can say for other states, though.
Cold?
Not cold.
I mean, it was perfect out today. It was like 72.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. It was cold this morning. We don't put on the air conditioner or the heater at our house, so.
No. You guys just.
No, and we leave the windows open, so.
Oh, wow.
So it is cold in the morning.
Oh, that's chilly. That's nice, though. You know, better than, I guess, paying for the air conditioner. So coming back off of we were in like three cities in 14 days. We were in Vegas for the Land Profit Generator course. Got to meet with
Jack Bosch
and some people out there. Found a lot of interesting stuff going on in the land side of things. And then IMN.
Oh, that's right.
IMN was in Orlando, which is, I mean, I guess that's a home game for us, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Be able to go meet with a few really good people. And we didn't attend the event. We just had some meetings set up. And then down to the, what is it, NPLA? Mm-hmm. We used to be Pitbull Conference, talking with the hard money folks down there. So that was a great conference. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't want to go to any conferences for a while.
No.
I'm kind of conferenced out. I mostly because...
Don't you have one in April? Or is that June?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's far enough. I mean, the Miami one, I'll back-to-back tell my wife, I'm going to Vegas for a number of days. And then she asked, well, what are we doing this Friday? I said, I won't be here. I'm in Vegas, or I'm in Miami.
Oh, my gosh.
I forgot to tell her I was going to Miami. So, I mean, she wasn't happy.
It's not been great travel. I got to tell you, the Vegas trip, my mom's birthday was Friday, or it was on a Sunday. And so, you know, I didn't want to get back on Sunday at like 8 o'clock at night. So we took the red eye back on.
That was brutal.
On Saturday night, Sunday morning, I guess we left at 4 a.m. Eastern, but 1 a.m. their time, and it was awful. That was the worst.
There's no good flights out of Vegas.
Mm-mm, I hated it. So I won't be doing that ever again. But then on the ride back from Miami, we took the train down, which was fantastic. Yeah. Able to work all the way down. The ride back, our train got canceled.
Yeah, but we're all worked out.
We made it back. It was fine. So what do you got for us today? What's on the agenda?
So, you know, we're catered this to more of a learner's crowd. And so there are habits with anything you do, right? You want to set up the right habits because it gets you in the process of getting out of this. You want to create the system. If you can create the system, then it becomes something that's second nature. Then you're able to see bigger picture ideas. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, what are the best five habits for a note investor to establish when they're first starting out? You know, what's the path? What's the path? I know we talk a lot about beginning, hey, this is what you should do. But then there's also habit. You have to do this. You have to do that. These are things just are important. But a lot of people want to know, if you had five habits, Rick, what would
you? I think it's good. I think whether you're an experienced note investor and you're a little chaotic or sporadic or you're just getting started, habits are the key. Like if you can. Well,
there's a story about the habits. It's that kind of the checklist. Like there's a book called, I just read recently called The Checklist, and they talk about how pilots, even experienced pilots, every surgeon, they go through a checklist of things, and that's the habits they keep before they fly, when they land. They do surgery, after they do surgery.
Yeah, you gotta like make sure you got all your instruments still.
Yeah, make sure you don't leave like a.
No, that happens.
I know, I've heard terrible stories.
That's like you count gauze pads and stuff like that.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. In the surgical world, don't ask me how I know that, I just do. Probably because dad was a med mal attorney for a while. But anyways, yeah, habits are good. They create consistency, which is the key. So I think probably the first habit is diligent market research. Like you have to know the market. You got to stay up to date on what's going on current trends, whether it's like interest rates, economic indicators, you know, just everything going on with the market. So you can really understand the environment you're investing in. And a great way to do this is just read, you know, you get your daily emails if you go onto websites and sign up for industry specific websites, you know, Bankers Association, or there's so many of them out there, but it allows you to see
DS News or something.
DS News is a great one. Mm-hmm. It allows you to keep your finger on the pulse of the market and what's actually going on. You should always be diligent.
Right. So, okay, cool. Because I like that, because that's not an actually note buying habit. That's just the fact this is something you need to do.
Well, no, that's part of it. That's part of the note buying is knowing the market. Because, for instance, you may be in the market of right now, you've been buying and selling performing loans. Mm-hmm. But you also have a great bit of knowledge for buying non-performing loans and knowing like, oh, wow, they're starting to see more performing portfolios being released. It allows you to understand the market and the trends and where things are going.
Kind of just saw on that one MIAX site.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So constant research, constantly staying up to date on the pulse of the market. That's market research is a big one. The next one is, and this is could arguably be the most important one, building strong relationships, networking, right?
Makes sense. Who was it, Martin Sines?
Yeah.
Basically always said, like always had three in the pipe, like always, he's always like turning three deals, three working, three more.
The power of networking is great. If you talk to a lot of people that, even for us, you know, we just went to the NPLA and, you know, you had some goals of talking to folks who were there regarding API integrations and getting in and getting PaperStack involved, but I was talking with people who were sellers of product,
right?
And the place was covered. Like there's not a shortage of being able to go out and buy private financing hard money loans right now. You can go out and do it. You talk to so many people there that day. Mm. They're like, oh yeah, you've got a platform? Yes. So the power of networking is so good. You talk to just about anybody who attends the conferences, and it's all about the networking, and really it's deal flow.
That's very true.
I mean,
that's very true.
You make so many connections at those events, and then at the, you know, any cocktail parties at the bar, stuff like that, just going out to dinner with people. That's where you build your relationships. That's really can be a great source of deal flow.
I get that, and that makes total sense. That was kind of like when we were in Vegas, was some of those things that it was not so much networking to begin with. It was dinners, but man, some gems were dropped.
You know? Oh yeah, huge. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is definitely one, the networking key. The next thing is understanding and being able to evaluate risk and reward as it ties into the portfolios that are available or the assets that are available. Right.
Okay, explain that one.
So if you're really good at understanding risk reward, basically running due diligence on assets and saying, okay, how does this asset really look? Is this a trash asset? Is it a good asset? Is it something that I'm going to be able to have high confidence that I'm going to get paid on it? Or is this a little bit of a, there's some hair on this deal, or this deal has been out there for a while? And being able to look at the deals and tying that into the market trends and the market research, it allows you to say, this deal is probably not the best deal right now. And if you understand current market trends, you can understand like kind of what's selling, and you can understand, okay, this is the price things are selling at. Because an asset, if you understand market trends, you'll understand that assets 2 years ago that were performing or are selling at a different price point than they are right now. Mm-hmm. So there's a risk reward there of understanding, okay, interest rates are higher. Do I got to buy them cheaper? Do I got to buy them lower?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tying that all in, one of the things about the habits is nothing is something that just is mutually independent. It all works together. They all tie together to say, okay, if I'm following this stuff, habit one is helping out habit three. Mm-hmm. Habit two helps me find the inventory that I can apply. Look, am I doing good risk reward to it? And the next one is one that I needed a lot of help with, but it's staying disciplined and staying organized. You have to have a way to have everything organized, man. You can't do this stuff with papers all over the place, or you have to have systems set up. You got to have your portfolio tracking. You got to have your checklist of things that's going to happen. When I go to run due diligence on this asset, what happens? Well, here's my checklist. I know that immediately what happens is I look at the armchair valuation, I look at the payment history, the servicing notes, and then finally I'm ordering my title report and my BPOs, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, what is your system and for once you acquire an asset, you know? When we first started, we were buying assets and they were being shipped to us, and then we're putting them in our fireproof safe, which we thought was great. But then we're like, oh, there's a bunch of assets that didn't have assignments recorded that were missed. And you're like, okay, well, that can't happen anymore. Well, what are we going to do? So we set up a business relationship with a company that anytime we purchased an asset, the assets got shipped directly to them. Any assignments that needed to be recorded, they recorded those assignments. Then they scanned and indexed our entire collateral file. So now we had digital copies of it. And from there, once they were done, it was shipped off to U.S. Bank, who kept the collateral files in there.
That's right. I remember that company. I forget his name.
I don't remember the name either.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But that was a really good system that we set up, and it allowed us to stay organized and allow things to make sure that they didn't fall through the cracks, right? Mm-hmm. That's a huge, I mean, the impact of discipline is just, you have to have it.
Oh, I get it.
And staying organized.
I get the fact about staying organized.
And that really, I mean, that one could be a number one thing, because that ties in, if you're staying disciplined, it means at that point you're also being disciplined in doing your market research and reading that stuff daily. It means that you're also, okay, I'm setting up, I got to go to at least a conference a month or a conference a quarter so I can keep building my relationships. Or I'm setting up a time that I'm gonna dedicate, I don't know, 30 minutes every Monday to just reaching out and keeping relationships going and stuff like that. Discipline, organization.
Yeah, we do that now.
We do.
I mean, we do that now. Yeah. Like, where it's like, you know, it's all we have. I mean, not that they're going to care, but status hero and things like that. And we have lists and, you know, it's like, hey, for 30, 40 minutes, this is all I'm doing. And I, you know, nerdy stuff, but it helps you makes you feel better at the end of the day when you get shit done.
And then part of that, and then the last thing is constantly, continuously learning and adapting, adding new aspects to the investment strategies and notes, right? You know, when we started out, we were just buying non-performing notes so we could take the house back.
Right.
And then we're like, wow, you know, we did really good. We had like our first 10 or 12 loans. Nobody wanted to, nobody put up a fight. Mm-hmm. And then we started running into some people were like, well, I don't want to sign my house over to you. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, okay, well, we have to foreclose. And then it was like, okay, well, What other things could we do here to turn these into win-win situations? Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly adapting and learning. And I mean, it happens. You go from buying non-performers to buying performers to looking at seconds, mm-hmm. right? To just adding more things. Now, does that mean you need to just buy everything you see? No. But if you can add these other
disciplines
to it, it broadens your spectrum. Being able to originate owner financing. Mm-hmm. Being able to buy land notes, mm-hmm. you know, being able to market for stuff and originate land notes and stuff like that. Always learning, always adapting, staying up on regulations.
Oh, that sounds boring.
Staying up on the new tools that are available.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I know you would love that one because you were definitely a tool guy. You love the new tools. So it's what are your resources? How are you learning? Are you books? Are you following a podcast?
You're watching this YouTube channel.
Yes, I'm diligently watching the PaperStack podcast.
Going to the academy.
Am I making a point to be disciplined to go to one seminar a quarter? Right?
I don't think that's hard.
For continuous learning, no. You just have to constantly be learning. And if you're doing that, when new opportunities present themselves, you'll see them and light bulbs will go off. So
I totally get that. I mean, we were at the IMN for maybe an hour or two, and we heard like a couple just gyms like, that's good. What's coming?
Yeah, of course, the what's coming thing. And you start talking to people and you get different perspectives on the market. Sometimes we live in an echo chamber, right? Mm-hmm. And the people you're around and you see every day, everybody's got the same opinion. And, you know, sure, we like-minded individuals, but I want to go around the room and see if everybody else is
saying the same thing.
Are they seeing the same thing? Are they not seeing the same thing? Sometimes what they don't say is almost as important as what they do say, because you learn how to read people and say, oh, there's something else going on here. So putting right. the pieces, but that only comes from if you're out there learning and trying to stay diligent, going to the seminars, talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's good.
I mean, those are like really the core habits, and then obviously the number six one is always check PaperStack if you're in the note buying space, because that's what you're looking for, right? This is about buying notes. Ultimately, this is about what are the habits that are going to lead you to buy more notes. Check PaperStack.
I mean, you can just set up a safe search.
Yeah.
That's even easier.
Yeah, and that does it all for you. So just like the recap, it's like, look, market due diligence. Make sure you know exactly what's going on. You're out there. You're building relationships and networking. You're understanding risk versus reward and able to analyze different assets that are coming in so you don't make a bad buy, which is a big one. Staying organized and disciplined, and then always learning.
Yeah, I get it. I love it. I love all those. I mean, always learning, and there's easier ways to do it than sitting down just reading articles online. Just podcast while you're working out, podcast while the cars are rolling down the street, learning while you're rolling down the street.
That's
habit
it.
Stacking, man.
Habit stacking. You got to stay. Really, the key is consistency. Stay consistent, and it'll be good. So
it's hard. It can't be hard.
No, yeah, it can be. So that's it. That's what I have on this.
That's good. I mean, that's real good. I mean, you know, it's all these things that you probably already know, like what to do. Like, you've heard it before, but it's nice to always hear it again.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
I mean, it's like,
it
you
is.
Know, I know this is what I need to do. And consistency.
But, exactly. So.
But cool, man.
Well, that's it. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead, click the subscribe button, like it, ask a question. Brett loves to get in there and fire out questions or fire out answers to your questions.
Yeah.
Gives us new topics, new ideas. You know, we love the engagement. Helps channel, helps you, helps everybody else. So do those things, and we'll catch you on the next episode of
Sounds
the PaperStack Podcast.
See ya.
Bye.
Are you new to the mortgage note industry? Have you been wanting to learn the step-by-step process to purchase your first mortgage note? Well, you're in luck. We've convinced our CEO, Rick Allen, to break down everything he knows about mortgage note investing. Through a series of 50 videos, you'll get everything from start to finish of where to purchase notes, how to purchase notes, and all of Rick's investing techniques he has developed over the many years. From performing note tactics to non-performing notes, Rick gives you everything he knows about investing. Bonuses include our glossary of industry terms, Rick's own proprietary calculators he created to evaluate notes, discounts from our partners, our Rolodex of vendors, a private Facebook group, along with a lot more. We've packed so much content into the Academy to take you from beginner to expert in no time. To learn more about the Academy, go to academy.paperstack.com/welcome. Again, that is academy.paperstack.com/welcome.